Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you for waking up this morning with me. I know most of you could be in a bed sleeping, but you decided to wake up and listen to today's show, which is a wonderful show and a very important show about ending violence against women and children, not just here in America, but globally. I have a wonderful guest with me this morning, Aisha Shahida Simmons. She is award-winning African-American feminist, lesbian, independent documentary filmmaker. Say that three times. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Today we're going to be talking about Aisha's film, No, the rape documentary. Rape and domestic violence is an ongoing, continuing issue around the globe, and particularly something that people may not talk about is in the African-American community, rape and domestic violence, assault, child abuse happens, and we are silent. And Aisha is here today to help break that silence. Her film's purpose, I believe, is to help break that silence and provide support for other women around in the African-American community that they're not the only one that this has happened to. There are people out there that has happened to that you can speak up and you'll still survive, that you can regain your power. A lot of the women in her film became activists to help other women to gain their power back. And also to understand the context that, you know, what did I do? Well, did I do something wrong? No, the film breaks that. You didn't do anything wrong. Somebody else had the wrong plan in trying to violate, you know, your rights. So I just think it's a very important show. I've done another show about domestic violence. I've done a show about sexual abuse. And I think I will continue to do a show about these issues because they have not gone away. So I want to read something from For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide, When the Rainbow is Enough, by Nzange Shange. A friend is hard-pressed to charge against. If you know him, you must have wanted it. A misunderstanding? You know, these things happen. Are you sure you didn't suggest? Had you been drinking? A rapist is always to be a stranger, to be legitimate, someone you never saw, a man with obvious problems. Pin-ups attached to the inside of his lapels, ticket stubs from porno flicks in his pocket, a little dick, or a strong mother, or just a brutal virgin. But if you've been seen in public with him, danced one dance, kissed him goodbye lightly with closed mouth, pressing charges will be as hard as keeping your legs closed while five fools try to run a train on you. These men friends of ours who smile nice, stay employed, and take us out to dinner, lock the door behind you with fist and face to fuck, who make elaborate Mediterranean dinners and let the art ensemble carry all ethical burdens while they invite a couple of friends over to have you, are suffering from latent rapist bravado, and we are left with the scars. Being betrayed by men who know us and expect, like the stranger we always thought was coming, that we will submit. We must have known. Women relinquish all personal rights in the presence of a man who apparently could be considered a rapist, especially if he has been considered a friend and is no less worthy of being beat within an inch of his life, being publicly ridiculed, having two fists shoved up his ass, than the stranger we always thought it would be, who never showed up. Because it turns out the nature of rape has changed. We can now meet them in circles we frequent for companionship. We see them at the coffee house with someone else we know. We could even have them over for dinner and get raped in our own houses by invitation, a friend. I think this is one of the key issues that we deal with in the African-American community, that it's someone we know, someone close to us. It could be a person of, very important, you know, a public figure, someone high in the church, a boss, someone in an activist organization that you're working with. In Aisha's film, there are some women who were working for the black movement to help equality between, you know, blacks and whites and the races. And then they end up getting raped by a brother who was an activist in the movement, who they respected, who was powerful, who was intelligent, who was considerate and kind outside. And then they invited them in, and unfortunately, they were assaulted. Aisha, I want to bring you in here, and because I could go on for days about this, but tell me, why did you make this film?
Well, I made the film because I'm a survivor. of sexual violence. So, and I found that I know more women who have been impacted by sexual violence than who have not been. And that's across the board. But when I say across the board racially, but within the African American community, I recognize that there is a deep silence in our community. I mean, there's silence in all communities. Let me be clear. Like, nobody wants to talk about rape and sexual violence. No one, anywhere in the world. But in terms of within the African American community, because of our need, so to speak, to address racism, which I think we definitely have to address racism, there's this feeling of that if we talk about the violence that women experience at the hands of black men, that then we're playing into the hands of racists. So that what ends up happening is that we put sexual violence on the back burner. And so what I wanted to do was really kind of carry on what has been done in the written word, such as the piece that you read from Ntozake Shange's For Colored Girls, Alice Walker's The Color Purple, Michelle Wallace, Barbara Smith, I mean June Jordan, Toni Capone Barr. So many sisters have written about these atrocities, and what I wanted to do was put it on the screen to really give voice, to give visual voice so people can see the name, so that it's no longer just fiction, that it is real. And so that was my goal. And it's interesting that you started out talking about the people or the sisters in the civil rights movement, because one of the women with whom it's featured in No is my mother, Gwendolyn Zahar Simmons, who was an activist in the civil rights movement and was assaulted during the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Summer in 1964. And she was one of the courageous women, of all the women featured in No, who was willing to tell her story. And one of the things that she talks about, or that she talks about with me, I should say, not necessarily on screen, when I ask her why did she do this, is because, you know, she really says that in terms of talking about it, what happened to her in 1964 was really the need that we have to break this silence. You know,
yes,
that definitely we have to fight against racism, hands down. We, you know, there are current contemporary examples of why we need to do that. But at the same time, one of the things I always say is that if racism ended right now, if we could even imagine that possibility, I still wouldn't be safe as a woman. I wouldn't be safe as a lesbian. You know, so these are these things, so that if we don't fight against all these forms of oppression, if we don't fight against racism, if we don't fight against sexism and homophobia and all these isms, then no one will be free. So it doesn't behoove us to only focus on single issue issues, if you will. We have to deal with them at the simultaneously.
Right, definitely. I mean, that's one of the key points, I think, of your film, is that we as women don't hate men. I want to say that very clear, and I said this on my domestic violence show, I said this on my sexual abuse show. I do not hate men. I am not bashing men. Unfortunately, though, 90% of the perpetrators of these acts are men. So I'm reaching out to you today, men, to check your brothers that are around you. You know the actions that they are taking. You know what they do when they go out. Aisha's film, she's, you know, states 1 in 3 women have been assaulted. 1 in 3 women. I was in a feminist theater class, a graduate class at the University of Penn. All but 2 of the women in my class had been assaulted, raped, or abused as a child. All but 2 of the women in my class. So brothers, and any man, if you're out there, as Aisha's film states, and she has men in her film who are fighting dealing with this movement, check your brothers, talk to your brothers, hold them accountable, and also realize that you may be going out with a woman, most likely are going out with a woman who has been assaulted, maybe as an adult, maybe as a child, and she has not dealt with this issue. So your relationship may develop conflicts. That is not to blame her, but that is for you to be sympathetic that she went through a trauma and that she may have post-traumatic stress disorder. So, brothers, again, well, I'm not hating on you today, but I want you to wake up and wake your other brothers up to the pain that you are causing as a whole, not you know, individuals, but as a whole, as males, that you need to check your brothers and hold them accountable. Aisha also brings up the issue of slavery and how that has affected sexual relations in the black community and intra-racial relationships in terms of domestic violence. Also, in terms of white and black relationships, there's an article I read here. This is from Gail Elizabeth Wyatt from University of California. It was published in the Journal of Social Issues. As early as 1660 in colonial America, laws encourage the sexual tyranny of African American slaves by slave owners to enhance the owner's economic and social gain. Slave owners especially victimize African American women. Offspring from the rape of African American women slaves by slave owners increased slaves' population and owners' holding. I mean, it was about money, people. Moral justification for the sexual oppression and exploitation of African American slaves stems from the 15th century Christian missionary attitude that vilified the sexual appetite of Africans. That's something Aisha's film deals with. Aisha, you want to talk about how black men, I think, were, you know, their sexual prowess and the issue of lynchings. You brought that up. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I definitely, well, there are several points that I wanted to talk about within an African-American context, in order to talk about, I believe, almost anything as it pertains to the African-American community, as well as white people, because this involved all of us, so to speak, is that we have to look at interracial rape in terms of what happened during the period of enslavement in this country. So that you know, is hands down that we have to talk about, you know, how white men were raping black women without recourse because, you know, they were, black women were enslaved. So it wasn't even about, in fact, what is, Adrian Davis, a legal scholar, talks about what is consent when you're an enslaved person. Do you?
Well, you're a piece of property. I mean, a piece of property. You don't have any rights. You're not a human. And then when we got rights as African-Americans in this country, you know, we're three quarters and there were still Jim Crow laws. So that definitely affected intra-relations and domestic violence and the anger that both sides had, men and women. You know, black men and women both were angry because they were supposedly free, but then still blocked, you know.
Right. The thing, there are several things, though, that I want to talk about. But then this whole issue, the reason why I thought it was important to talk about, to lay down that foundation in terms of what happened during enslavement, just the reality of the lynching of thousands of black men, but also the reality that black women, and specifically Ida Wells Barnett and the anti-lynching crusaders, as Dr. Beverly Guy-Sheftall talks about and know, were at the forefront of the anti-lynching movement. And when they were talking about abolishing lynching, it wasn't just the lynching of black men, because definitely black men were lynched, but so were black women and children. And part, I did this for two reasons. One, I wanted to have a visual documentation of black women's history in this country from enslavement through present day, which ties back to your original comment, Joy, about, you know, that we're not hating on brothers. And the reason I wanted to do that was because I really wanted to talk about this reality that black women have been catching hell alongside with black men since we were brought over here as enslaved people. We've been catching hell, and we've been fighting for racial liberation. So there's this notion in terms of in a contemporary context, and when black women come forward to talk about the violence that we experience at the hands of black men, that we're betraying the race, that we're traitors to the race. So I really felt like it was very important to just kind of lay down that foundation, to talk about Ida Wells Barnett, to have people such as Gwendolyn Zahar Simmons, my mother, Elaine Brown, who's the leader of the Black Panther Party, and other revolutionary women who were fighting for racial justice in this country while also simultaneously dealing with sexual harassment, sexual assault. So to really just say, you know, we have been side by side with you brothers in terms of fighting against racial injustice, even at the expense of our own bodies and lives. And so, and at the same time, I thought it was imperative to include the voices of black men, one of whom is Michael Simmons, my father, your Lester Douglas and Suleiman Nordin from Men Stop the Violence, who are doing work to end violence against women. I wanted audiences, members, to see and hear the voices of black men who are saying, no more on our watch. We are going to do something about this. We're going to hold other brothers accountable. We're going to really talk about breaking the silence and ending the violence. Because the truth of the matter is that rape will stop and battering will stop when men stop raping and battering. And so men have to step up to the plate. And there's a whole group of men across this country, black men, all men, but we're talking about black men today, who are doing this work. And I think it's really, really important to talk about, not in terms of like patting them on the back or whatever, because they're doing what they should be doing, but I mean just in terms of the context that this is not just a woman's issue. This is a woman and man's issue. This is a community issue.
Yes, definitely. And you bring that up in the issue of that women are selling out if they break the silence. I mean, it's bad enough whether you're Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, Native American, and you get raped. The point is you got raped. And, you know, a horrible trauma happened to you. And for those of you who don't know maybe what the definition of rape is, rape, forced sexual intercourse, including both psychological coercion. I want to say that again, psychological coercion, as well as physical force. Forced sexual intercourse means vaginal, anal, or oral penetration by the offenders. This category also includes incidents where the penetration is from a foreign object, such as a bottle, includes attempted rapes, male as well as female victims, and both heterosexual and homosexual rape. Attempted rape includes verbal threats of rape. Again, attempted rape includes verbal threats of rape. So, you know, in case you didn't know what we're talking about today, that's what we're talking about. And it has many forms, and it's very subtle. And that's why I wanted to read the monologue, because it's not some crazy stranger a lot of times. 90%, maybe 80-90% of the time, it's somebody you know, somebody you invited into your house, somebody you socialize with. In the film, people were being activists. They were risking their lives for the Black community, and then they got turned against by their own. Let's bring up the issue of, you talk about in your film, we have about 15 minutes left, Mike Tyson and Desiree Washington. What made you bring that into your film? Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, for me, that was a turning point in my own personal understanding around sexual violence. And I really have to just kind of credit having been fortunate to have a father, Michael Simmons, who really, really pushed me and challenged me, because I was at the time, I guess, 14 or what, I'm 40. So, yeah, I was like in my teens. And I was amongst the many teenagers who was blaming people across, like saying, what was she doing in his room and all of that. And I feel very fortunate to have a father who was very much like, no, it doesn't matter what she was doing in the room. If she said no, that meant no. So that was really a turning point. And what was even more, the reason why I really wanted to, because a lot of people, particularly people, young people who see it now, some of them weren't even alive when all of that happened. I really wanted to highlight that, not only in terms of Tyson, but how community leaders, particularly religious leaders, Nation of Islam, the National Baptist Convention, how they rallied behind Tyson. So it's not even, I mean, it's horrible what happened to Desiree Washington. Let me be very clear. It's very horrible. Then on top of that, what also happened was I feel like this kind of mass blaming of all women who made use for judgment, but then yet somehow everybody seems to be in agreement that, you know, the penalty for poor judgment is rape. And so I really wanted to highlight that part, because I really wanted to, for people to see the power that leaders, many of whom are men, have when they condone or protect a man who has been convicted of sexual violence. So that's why I put that in there, because, I mean, clearly there's so many contemporary issues I could have talked about at the point that when I finished No. At that point, I think R. Kelly was on the map in terms of all of that. But I really wanted to really use that example, but then we could kind of juxtapose it against any kind of contemporary example with that's going on within African-American communities, of the role in which community leaders, clergy play when they condone violence against women. So it's not only just the woman who was literally raped, but it's all the parishioners in the church or all the, you know, the members of the mosque. What are you saying when you're saying women, how many times have you said no when you really mean yes?
That was very, you know, just ached me in my heart that, you know, that people, you know, you have to see the film, people. You have to, again, let me tell you, the film is No, the rape documentary, and there's a website, knowtherapedocumentary.org, that you can go to. Again, knowtherapedocumentary.org, you can go to get more information about bringing Aisha to your community groups, to your schools, to buy the film. There's resources and links that she has. There's a downloadable PDF file, you said?
Yeah, there's a study guide, a 100-page study guide that was created by Salamisha Tillett and Rachel Quinn and designed by a sister named Kavita Rajana. And it is a 100-page study guide that you can buy as a hard copy, but equally as important, it is downloadable. And so it has discussion questions. It has statistics. It has resources, including hyperlinks, links that are live, where you can go directly to organizations across this country that are dealing with heterosexual rape, which is what NO focuses on, but also rape that happens within LGBT communities. And so all of this is available on the website, which is NO, the rape documentary.org, and then information about how you can purchase the documentary and use it in your communities.
Yes, definitely check her website out. I want to bring up the issue that in the film you also talk with women who, after they have been assaulted, you know, were not sure what to do, but somehow were pulled to become activists and working against other women being raped or supporting other women who have been raped. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Now, one of the things that I thought was very important is that there are several things that happen in No. 1. All of the survivors, you see their faces, and you have their first and last names. And the reason I did that, and I understand that there are many women who will never publicly, or you know, say that they've been sexually assaulted, but it's to really give the message that the shame should never, ever be on the women who have been victimized, ever. They should not be ashamed. The shame should be on the men who perpetrate the violence. So it's my hope that when viewers see and hear the names Renee McNeil, Salamisha Tillett, Loretta Ross, when they see these names, that they understand, they can see themselves and be empowered to tell their stories without shame. And so that was one important part. The other component was to really talk about that it doesn't have to stop at the rape. For so many women, there's a part, myself included, that dies inside because you've had this horrific trauma. And I really wanted women who have not made it to the survivor stage to understand that they can move from victim to survivor to activist. And so most of the women in NO, how they healed, part of their healing process was to get involved in some form of organization or activism. One particular example is the organization A Long Walk Home, which was founded by Salamisha and Scheherazade Tillett, which is this amazing organization that does work now with young girls around doing rape prevention work, breaking silences, learning how to use art to heal. So Renee McNeil, who's an ordained minister, she talks about it in her sermons and in her work that she does, Charlotte Pierce Baker's book, Surviving the Silence. So really giving women an understanding that you don't, yes, this is horrific, and you have to heal from it. You have to do some form of therapy, moving into, you know, using religion, but in a therapeutic way. But then also hopefully using your trauma to work towards helping other people so that they don't have to go through that. So
yeah,
that's
definitely
a really important part of NO, to have that, as well as men talking about the roles that they are taking and the roles that men should take in terms of ending sexual violence.
Yes, Aisha also had a rape center, a counselor, a male center counselor in there, and, you know, he was very powerful. She said she had men stopping violence, two men in there. And let me just tell you some resources. If you're dealing with this issue, you know someone who's dealing with this issue, again, knowtherapedocumentary.org is her website. There are wonderful organizations across the country, Women Organized Against Rape, that's a Philadelphia-based organization, the Family Violence Prevention Fund, Men Engage, that's an organization that men are working now, National Organization of Women, Men Against Sexual Violence, Men Stopping Violence. So there's a lot of organizations out there that are working to stop this epidemic. I want to talk to you about your global work that you're doing. You're not just in the United States. I want to tell people she is not a local sister. She is all over the place. Talk to me. We have about 5 or 6 minutes left about your travels around the globe.
Yes, I've been really very fortunate to travel with NO, which initially started as fundraising tools because initially I wasn't getting any money in the United States in the early days, I should say, or very little money to make NO. I mean, that shifted, but in the early days. And so I was very fortunate to be embraced by the global feminist community of all races, European, Arab, South Asian, you name it, Roma. And so having the opportunity to travel extensively throughout Eastern and Western Europe, through and going to South Africa, going to Kenya, really engaging with sisters around this issue, and really seeing, I mean, it's one thing to know something intellectually, like we say women are raped all over the world, but to be able to have the experience of being in countries such as Croatia, Hungary, Bosnia, and having women who don't speak English and seeing no through simultaneous interpretation, saying this is my story. So to be able to have people identify, that's another thing in terms of, because I very much consider myself a race woman as a black woman, to have people looking at the herstory and the testimonies of black women and hearing the commentary of black men and saying that this is my story, to being engaged with women, Arab women, Algerian women in France, and hearing about what they went through in terms of what their mothers went through during their fight for independence from France, and the silence that they feel, engaging with Palestinian women and hearing the silences, you know, that they feel like, how can I talk about sexual violence when we're under siege in terms of occupation? So all these kinds of things have been really powerful, being in South Africa where they have one of the highest rape rates in the world, where lesbians are being not only murdered but raped before they're being murdered. Engaging in dialogue around that and seeing how no is playing a catalyst, right, but also being a part of the global work that's already happening. So for
I
me
to bring up –
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just want to say, yes, you brought up the issue, and Aisha is a lesbian, and she brought some lesbians into her film to talk about their experiences, that they had also been assaulted as women, not, you know, necessarily related to them being lesbians. But there was one particular interview that she did, and there was a young lady, she was an activist, a poet, I think her name was Queen.
Yes, Queen. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the film, she's an activist, she's doing her poetry, she's, you know, talking about all the work she's doing, and, you know, she's been talking to brothers, again, friends of hers, people who admire her and respect her, and, you know, one even it comes out that she's a lesbian. Well, then there's silence, and there's a hush, and then they're like, oh my God, well, you know, basically all you need is a good man.
Right.
And how can our queen, and I say in quotes and out, without quotes, be a lesbian and still be down for the cause?
Right.
Let's tell you, it is possible for a lesbian black woman to still be down for the cause and be a lesbian. That doesn't take away from her being an activist for the black community. And to say that you being a man is not going to change her sexual orientation. Her having sex with a man is not going to change her mind about her being a lesbian. You know, let's get that straight. So don't think in the room this young woman was talking about how all these men all of a sudden turned against her. They had
right.
been her friends, her you know, compadres, and they turned against her the moment they found out she was a lesbian.
Right.
Does that mean she's no less a black woman? She's still black. When she walks out in the street, she still receives racism the same way you do as a black male,
right.
and she's fighting against that. So that's an important issue that, you know, men sometimes talk about, you know, all a woman
exactly.
needs.
The line,
you know,
says rape isn't rape, but if it's to teach black lesbians a lesson. So
right,
one thing,
right.
as a lesbian activist who is, you know, a race woman who's a you know, fights against all forms of oppression, recognizing,
mm-hmm.
you know, that no one is free while others are oppressed, that it was very imperative, because these are issues that happen. I mean, black lesbians are under attack. I mean, all lesbians are under attack, but in terms of, again, talking within an African-American context, black lesbians are under attack. Zakiya Gunn was murdered in Newark, New Jersey. I mean, there, you know, it's a constant attack, and there's a silence within our community about that. There's not an outrage that
mm-hmm.
we have, like, in terms of a Jenna 6 as well. We should have an outrage about Jenna 6, but I want that same kind of outrage when violence happens against black women, regardless of our sexual orientation, that this is the kind of work that we have to do if we're talking about healing and being whole as a community.
It's ridiculous. I mean, when I saw that, I was just like, wow, that to me is a really important, also another important part of the film is that, you know, that's an ongoing misconception that, you know, as a man, you can change this woman's sexual orientation. We have about 2 minutes left. So I want to thank Aisha for being on the show today. And again, talking to us about breaking the silence that women, you are not the only one. One in three women. One and three. So if you're walking in a store and you're walking down the street, somebody to your left, to your right has been assaulted. Brother, somebody to your left, to your right that you're going out with has been assaulted. And somebody to your left and your right has assaulted a woman, has raped a woman, has violated a child. To your left and to your right, brothers, check the men to your left and to your right. I want to thank Aisha again. Her website is www.knowtherapedocumentary.org. I want to thank my listeners this morning for waking up. Next week, people, Nikki Giovanni, yes, I said it, Nikki Giovanni next week will be on the show, world-renowned poet, activist, writer, teacher. Come check her out, Nikki Giovanni next week, people, 11 a.m. Eastern here at Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And Aisha, I know you have a famous quote you like. I want to just read that for a second. It's by Audre Lorde. And when we speak, we are afraid. Our words will not be heard nor welcomed. But when we are silent, when we are silent, we are still afraid. So it is better to speak, remembering we were never meant to survive. That is Audre Lorde. Thank you so much, Aisha, for being on the show this morning. And thank you for doing your film and continue your work, not just here, but around the globe. It is imperative, and definitely appreciate your work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joy. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you. Everyone have a wonderful Saturday. And again, tune in next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern. If you want to email me, saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Again, saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Any questions, concerns, suggestions that you have, send that. Don't forget to mark the show a favor. Don't forget to tweet. Don't forget to dig. Don't forget to stumble. All right? Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Saturday.
Take care.